This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. A look at that other failed state in the Middle East.
Allah!
Airstrikes like this one are a daily event in Yemen as the Saudi-led war against Yemen seems to be escalating. The Shia-aligned Houthi militia are said to be loyal to Iran and are battling Saudis for control in a nation that is being systematically demolished by the parties that say they want to save it. Weapon sales from the U.S. and Britain keep this conflict going ever since President Ali Abdullah Saleh was unseated during the Arab Spring uprising in 2011. On Monday, airstrikes at a Doctors Without Border facility in Yemen left several people dead. This came on the heels of similar airstrikes on a school and food factory, which left more than two dozen dead, mostly women and children. United Nations peace talks have failed for now here, and with no clear scenario forward, this other failed state looks like the battlefield in a regional war, an internal grab for power, and a civilian catastrophe. Iona Craig is a journalist who has covered the conflict in Yemen extensively. She's an investigative journalist for The Intercept.
Yemen's conflict became a part of the regional tussle between Saudi Arabia and Iran as soon as the Saudis became involved in March last year. But the battle really began even before that. There had been conflict on the ground already. Even the first airstrikes and first bombs weren't dropped by the Saudis. Those were carried out by the Yemeni Air Force against the current President Hadi. But yes, as soon as the Saudis got involved, they saw the Houthis, the rebel forces on the ground, as being backed by Iran. Of course, it sucked Yemen into that regional battle now that is seen between Saudi Arabia and Iran elsewhere in the region.
What do the Saudis want to see as some sort of stable eventual outcome in Yemen?
Well, I think their aim at the moment is obviously for that not to be a country ruled by the Houthis. They are a predominantly Zaydi Shia movement. And as I mentioned, you know, they very much see them as being a proxy for Iran, if anything, although the extent of that influence is very unclear and lacks a lot of evidence and certainly isn't as extensive as the Saudis often make out. So, yes, this obviously, you know, builds into a narrative, really, and gives them something to play with, really, in that regional power struggle, if you like to call it, or certainly that regional rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia that we've seen building over the last few years.
What is the cost of all this in civilian lives, in lives disrupted, in ways of life that will never be restored?
In Yemen, that's really the most depressing part of it. You've got nearly 3 million people now who've been internally displaced by this conflict. You've got more, you know, 80% of the population now in need of some form of humanitarian aid. This is the poorest country in the Middle East. It was already suffering before this conflict, but now the levels of malnutrition are going through the roof. Access to areas to get food and supplies to people is incredibly difficult. There has been a naval blockade imposed on the country by the Saudi-led coalition to prevent weapons getting into the Houthis, but that also prevents food getting in when Yemen relies on imports for 90% of its food supplies. So, yes, it's really the civilians that are bearing the brunt of this conflict. You know, the latest figures are of over 3,500 civilians have been killed in this war so far, predominantly by airstrikes from the Saudi-led coalition. And now we've seen an intensification again of the conflict in the last 10 days. Once again, we're seeing civilians really being the main casualties of that at the moment.
What do you make of the targeting, if that can be said, of medical facilities in this war?
Yes, I've seen it firsthand on the ground myself, and it's been blatant. The attack you refer to on the MSF hospital, which left at least 11 people dead, including one of their medical staff, one of their staff in the hospital, and another 19 injured. That was just 48 hours after a school had been bombed, which had killed 10 children under the age of 15, which was on the same day as a school's principal's house being bombed, where four children and relatives were killed. And the list goes on. That attack on the MSF hospital yesterday was the fourth attack against MSF-supported health facility just in the last year.
And both the UK and the United States are supplying weapons to Saudi Arabia that are used in this conflict. Is that not the case?
Yes. I mean, both America and the UK have been making billions of dollars out of this war. The US has sold $20 billion worth of bombs and military equipment and in services to the Saudis over the course of the last year. The UK has also been making, you know, billions of dollars in arms sales and in fighter jet sales to the Saudis over the years. So, yeah, this is big business for the UK and the US. We've seen that continued support both in a military sense and on the diplomatic front as well, despite the violations of international humanitarian law that have been called out by the humanitarian organisations. It doesn't really sit very well when you've got, you know, the West, whether it's the UK or the US, criticising both the Syrian government and the Russians for bombing civilian targets in Syria. And while in Saudi Arabia, the same thing's going on, but it's being done with US and UK bombs, it probably explains why they remain pretty silent about things going on in Yemen and yet still refuse to stop selling those weapons. So, yeah, it's viewed very much in Yemen as an involvement in a US-supported war and a UK-supported war as much as a Saudi war.
Iona Craig is a journalist who spent many years covering Yemen. She's an investigative reporter for The Intercept. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.